Repeat after me. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
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 I think that that is a very powerful sentence from our scriptures. And the crew that I grew up with would have said, oh, now be very careful about cheap grace. You still have to be good. You still have to do this. And I think that when saying those things, they missed the point. It is true that in terms of God's relationship to us, mercy triumphs over judgment. Absolutely true. But what's interesting is, in the letter of James, the phrase, mercy triumphs over judgment, isn't just about God's relationship to us. It is a dynamic that God proclaims is the dynamic of creation. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And in our life, our mercy triumphs over judgment. Our mercy should triumph over judgment. Our mercy, not just God's mercy, triumphs over judgment. It's important to remember that. It's an important phrase from our scriptures this week. And I hope that you go away and say to yourself time and again, mercy triumphs over judgment, because it's an important dynamic for the whole world. Really important stuff. Last week, we heard a discussion in the scriptures about religious practices, law-keeping. And what we learned when we looked at that was that you can keep a religious practice. You can have a religious law that you follow, a practice that you try to make a habit in your life. And you can do that for a couple of different reasons. You can do that because it softens and opens your heart to God and to others. Or you can do that, excuse me. Yeah, I knew that was there. Or you can keep a religious practice as an act of identity that says, I'm good, and those other people who don't do this, they're bad. They're wrong. You can use a religious practice to be judgmental, to make a judgment. And Jesus sharply critiques those who do that kind of, let's use the modern phrase, identity politics, where I define my identity over against the other person, and I make the other person bad and wrong. And Jesus says, no, 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 mercy triumphs over judgment. The reason to keep a law or a religious practice is because it softens and opens your heart to God and other people. And so the gospel reading that we heard today is the very next story after the story from last week. And it is a continuation of that same teaching. So Jesus goes from talking about religious practice as softening and opening our hearts to God and others, and not as identity politics. And immediately, in the very next story, he's approached by a Gentile woman. She's Syrophoenician. She is outside the law entirely. She doesn't keep rules about hand washing. She doesn't practice kosher. She is outside. And Jesus grants her requests and names her as a person of great faith. It's an example of what he was just saying. If your law-keeping is an act of identity, we're right and they're wrong, what Jesus did is scandalous. If you really believe that mercy triumphs over judgment, what Jesus did was what he should have done. The story is in a continuing example. And similarly, the man who cannot hear and cannot speak is also outside the community in that he's the kind of person that everyone would have avoided. Because a common fear in the first century was that it's sin that makes illness, especially long-term illness, befall people. It's sin that makes that happen. And so we're going to avoid that person because they're sinful and bad and unclean. And don't think that's just an old first century thing. It has happened in our lives too. So what happens is that Jesus heals him. But not only does Jesus heal him, if you look for a minute at the pastoral practice of what Jesus does, he takes him away from distraction, and he communicates the only way you can with a person who is deaf and cannot speak. He communicates by touch. So he touches this person and prays in Aramaic, "Be open." And he's open. His ears unstop. His tongue is loosened. He can hear and he can speak. And he's brought from outside to inside. And mercy triumphs over judgment. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. And as we look at this story, we can go even deeper. What are the implications of really believing that our religious practices and efforts are about softening our hearts so they can open more to God and each other? And what are the implications of really believing that mercy triumphs over judgment? What are the implications of that? What does that mean? How does that work? We don't really know what happened between Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman other than that he granted her request for her daughter. But it's interesting that the author of Mark puts the story here, and he keeps our focus on the right thing. It would be easy to get distracted in Jesus' day by the fact that she was a Gentile and a Syrophoenician woman and miss that mercy triumphs over judgment. And so the way that the story gets told in Mark is, and in the Gospels, is that Jesus starts by saying, I'm supposed to help the Jews. And she comes back at him. She pushes. And he responds to her. It gets the attention of the reader. It gets the attention of those who hear the Gospel. Because Jesus steps across the identity line when she pushes him and lets mercy triumph over judgment. Similarly, when Jesus heals the guy who's deaf and can't speak, and Jesus tells him, and he does this a lot in Mark, he tells him, "Now don't tell anybody." Right? He heals them, does this amazing thing, and then he says, "Now don't tell anybody." And it never works, right? It never works. People immediately go out and tell the story everywhere because they're grateful, they're excited, they're enthused. It never works. We wouldn't have the story if they actually listened to him and didn't tell anybody, right? So it never works. But Jesus keeps doing that, and we call that the messianic secret. Why does Jesus keep telling people, "Don't tell anybody"? And most scholars believe, and I agree with this, that what he's doing is he's trying to say, don't focus on the spectacle. It's not about the spectacle. It's about the fact that mercy triumphs over judgment. It's about the fact that God's heart is open to us and our hearts should be open to God. And so one of the things that is so is that we can get distracted, can't we? We can get distracted from seeing what we should see. That mercy triumphs over judgment. We can be distracted from that. We can watch the news all week and see all the falderall around the confirmation hearings and just give up and say, oh, Washington, they're all bad. Or we can look at what's going on in the world and we can say, oh, the world is just going downhill. And we can be distracted. But one of the things that Jesus does by continually saying to us, don't tell anybody about the spectacle, it's not about the spectacle, is don't get distracted. Don't be distracted. The falderall on the news does not define your life. The love of God defines your life. The dynamic that through the course of history to the end of time will win is God's dynamic of mercy triumphing over judgment. We know the direction that history is going. And it may not look that way, sometimes it may not feel that way, but we know where it's going. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And we're challenged not to be distracted. It's a hard thing to keep your focus on opening your heart to God and others when the world is acting so crazy. And Jesus tells us, don't be distracted. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's what happens. Finally, the other thing that, as we read deeper into this lesson, the other thing that we realize is, you know, Jesus has got this idea that he asserts that he's sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the Syrophoenician woman says, yeah, me too. You know, some mercy this way too. And Jesus heals her, hears her call and heals her daughter. And so when you just look at the story as a literary event in this book called Mark's Gospel, you realize that he doesn't have control. And it happens in multiple places in Mark's Gospel. In Mark's Gospel, the kingdom of God is like seed that's been scattered, and it blossoms where it will, it sprouts where it will, and blossoms where it will at God's direction, and it's not even at Jesus' direction. So think, for example, not only is there this story where he says, there's a limit, I'm doing this, and she says, no, come out here and do this too. And he hears her call and does and responds. It also happens with the woman, remember, who touches the hem of his garment. He feels power go out from him. He didn't send power out from him. It happens from time to time that healing and power and the grace that Jesus brings goes out from him in Mark's gospel in ways that he didn't intend or that he didn't control. And that should be a real caution to us. We think we know who's in and out. We think we know where the gospel is going to sprout and take root in this world. Jesus didn't even know that. God is in charge where the seeds of the kingdom sprout and blossom. Jesus in Mark doesn't control that. And neither do we. neither do we. Important point. Crucial for us to get. Softens our judgment and opens our heart a little bit more. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Finally, there's a line from the psalm that struck me also this week, in addition to the line from James. Because one of the things that I do when I turn on the news, invariably there comes up an ad for an alarm company. And I see those ads and I see the news and I hear people talk on the news and on social media, and I realize just how incredibly afraid we are. We're afraid of people we don't know. We're afraid of people that show up that we haven't met before. We're suspicious of everybody. There is a way in which our world and our society encourages us to be fearful and suspicious, to be wary. And there may be cause for that, I don't know. But the psalm says something very radical. Very radical for today. That's a challenge for us to think about. Not only does mercy triumph over judgment, but the psalm tells us that God cares for the stranger. Wow. God cares for the stranger. That's another significant statement, isn't it? Another powerful statement. So we're invited to be people who understand that, who think about that. It doesn't mean that we're always unguarded. It doesn't mean that we don't take care of ourselves and our family. But it does mean that we remember that the task of all of this stuff is learning how to open our hearts to God and others. And the task in all of this stuff is to come not only to believe, but to enact in our lives, in the way that we live and relate and in our ministries, the simple truth that mercy triumphs over judgment. And to remember that so much does mercy triumph over judgment that God even cares for the stranger. Even the one that makes us nervous or afraid. Mercy triumphs over judgment. God cares for the stranger.